Welcome back to Pitchside in partnership with Super Six. Now I've got two very happy bunnies with me today. After we've That's just right. sat here and watched Arsenal
win 3-1, Saka scored a pen.
Oh yeah, that was a bad dream. I had a bad dream.
Yeah, Arsenal won 3-1. Isn't that right, Rory?
Yeah.
Well, Lewis is very happy. I don't know why I'm happy, because I want Arsenal to win the league.
It's just sad. I feel so bad for Saka, man. He didn't have a good game. And that penalty genuinely could... It's written out. It's really bad. It's actually really bad.
It's a 38-game season. The season isn't defined on one moment. But
defining moments make a season.
But... And as much as we all love Saka, and yeah, it's all right going off field, but I don't feel bad for him, because there's no excuse for missing the target from a penalty.
We went in on Salah for saying, as a penalty taker, a save is a save. Yeah. You can't be angry at a save.
Or the post, I can kind of let slide.
But it weren't even close, was it?
No, it was a terrible penalty.
I feel like he's pushed it wide, because he's gone there in a couple of big penalties. He went that way against Ederson and against Alisson. And I feel like in his own head, he's gone up. He's second-guessing whether the keeper's going to go the right way, and he's tried to push it too far into the corner.
A safe penalty, because I used to take these all the time. I never missed, actually. You pass it in, people say. And that's what he's tried to pass it in. Inside the boot, you get more accuracy rather than hitting across you.
Do you not think he went top bins? Like, on his recent penalties, none of them were top
They're
corners.
Low. So maybe
he
went low.
I think, why have you not gone down the middle? In hindsight, it's so easy to say.
Let's get it right. He scored some big penalties this season. Off the back of the one at the Euros, which he got all that abuse for, you know, he scored some big ones this season, but that one will live in the memory.
I think he's 10 off. He's definitely got rid of the ghost of the Euros, but look, it's a big moment. It's a big penalty, and he's bottled it, shall we say.
I don't like this whole narrative of Arsenal. Do you think Arsenal will bottle the league, or do you think, actually, if you look at it, you could look at it and say, look, 4 points dropped against West Ham and Liverpool.
It's the fact you 2-0 up in those games that's bottling it.
It's the way you've lost them. Yeah. It's not like a 2-2 comeback and you got a point.
The result in isolation was a bottle, and like, it's one of those. If we'd gone on and lost to City overall, because we went to the Etihad and lost, and they won all the rest of the games of the season. For that, I think you'd just be like, fair enough. We just lost to the better team. But I think results like that, if that's what costs us, then it's a bottle.
Well, it is.
You can't throw away.
That's definitely going to cost you.
You've got to remember, look at when Liverpool technically, bottled it, you could say, with City. But Arsenal have led the entire league for the whole season, pretty much.
So. Yeah.
And if they don't win the league, then you have to look at it and be like, oh man, that's peak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a shame for you that you've got Man City up against you, but we're not in any other competitions. It's been in your hands for like 6 months now.
No other competitions to hold us back. If we don't win the league, second and no trophy at the start of the season, you would have said, yeah, we'll 100% take that. But look how far Arsenal have come and said, we'd be disappointed if we finish second now.
You can't.
You're in the Champions League again.
No, but you can't be 2-0 up after 10 minutes against West Ham and not get 3 points.
Oh, yeah, no, I fully agree.
And then still expect to win a league. It's just not going to happen. City are probably going to win every game. No?
But do you know what? I think, we bottled against Liverpool, bottled against West Ham, but watch us go beat City at the Etihad.
I think...
If you looked at this season, stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened.
You're a more optimistic man than me, mate.
I think Arsenal go to the Etihad and win.
I mean, that's the only saving grace, is that it is still... in our hands.
Surely you don't think
I that. Honestly do, because here's
with
why.
Rob Holding.
Here's why. You know?
Oh yeah, that's why. You know.
Big teams have lost this year. And it's been a bit of an up and down, curvy worthy season. Look at Chelsea, look at Liverpool, look at the Liverpool United result. Stranger things have happened. Arsenal could go to City and beat them. And then win the league.
They could, but it's not likely, is it?
No, but if you...
You're not even playing well.
What's the point of having hope exist in the world if you don't have hope within yourself?
That's so insightful, bro.
What the heck? That didn't even make sense.
Do you want me to just be a negative Nancy and never believe?
No.
What, you know, when Arsenal were top of the league, everyone was like, oh, don't get ahead of yourself, don't get ahead of yourself. But it's very rare that Arsenal actually go after a title in the last two decades. So why not get excited? What, a human being getting excited about football? My God forbid.
I back
kill
this
them.
So much.
How dare they get excited? Just Lewis, take Lewis and Newcastle, for example. Lewis and Newcastle, for example. Why should he not celebrate and be happy about Newcastle? Get excited.
I don't...
Something boring.
Exactly. Football's there to
enjoy. Bunch of losers, a lot of you.
Why are you arguing with me?
I'm arguing at them.
Like the imaginary people who disagree with you.
They're not imaginary. They're bloody everywhere.
I agree. Like all the celebration please and that. But all I'm saying is, yeah, enjoy it and celebrate it, but just be realistic, isn't it?
I will be excited for Champions League football next year again. That's what I've severely missed at the Emirates. That has been a really, that's a big thing for not only getting players in, but also for the fans, like having like the Champions League music ring around and like also caring about Europe. Like obviously we'd want to win the Europa League and whatnot.
Yeah, that is a good point.
It's not got the same...
No one really cares.
Thing about it, do you know what I mean?
You're not desperate to win it, are you? You're not bothered if you go out.
Yeah. Who was your standout players from the game, Rory?
I thought Declan Rice was very good. We didn't win the midfield battle, which is...
But Partey had a poor game.
Yeah, but he did. But Partey and Xhaka always look worse without Zinchenko. And Peter, this is where I still don't think people realise how important Zinchenko is in our team.
When he comes in.
Because as good as... Tierney didn't have a bad game, but we just did. We never dictate the midfield when Zinchenko's not there, so... But I thought Declan Rice had a great game. I mean, none of our players really had a...
I thought our standout player
Jesus
was
taken off.
Odegaard
was decent. Jesus was our best player, and I don't know. And that's the one big criticism of Arteta that game. I don't know why he took Jesus off and decided to play a false nine when you're chasing the game, basically.
He must have had a knock or something, or he's still not 100%.
Yeah.
There's no reason why he took him off today. That made no sense to me.
Do you not think Odegaard played well?
Odegaard did play well. I think, Odegaard was up there as one of the other better performers.
You take your foot off the gas. I don't understand.
Is the difference between the Arsenal and City is that when Arsenal lose their best centre-back in Saliba and their second-best defender in Zinchenko, who's so critical to the midfield as well, it's actually a big thing for Arsenal. Whereas if City lose, say, Laporte, they've got all these world-class players on the base they can bring in.
That's the nature of the beast, isn't it? They've built that squad up over 5-6 years. You're fresh into this.
So you just want to get excited. This is the start of the beginning for Arsenal.
It could be. It could be the start of the end.
That would be very, very sad. I won't lie. Speaking of things coming to an end, Lampard out.
I said it last week and I'll say it again.
3 games.
Do you reckon he could?
He's a terrible manager.
3 losses.
He's terrible.
It's just...
No, but everyone's happy around the club, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
You might end up being in a relegation battle, but he's a club legend, any lad? So...
I know we joke about it.
But I'm not joking.
I think Bowley's listened to James Corden.
No, I think... I understand the premise of it, but... I don't understand sacking Potter, paying all that money when... was it really going to... Like, how bad would it have got with Potter? Would, like, the world just fucking cease to exist if he just finished the season out?
I think the 3 games that they've just lost under Lampard, Potter doesn't lose all 3.
No. I thought the performances under Potter were getting better. They just couldn't get results, which is one thing that I think you can change. Now the performance is getting even worse. I've never seen a manager bounce have so little. It was like
normally you get a good manager bounce.
Literally, there's no bounce. It's like an egg.
It's like a dig.
It was like an egg falling
just
on the floor.
It goes underneath the ground.
Yeah,
it was like a splat.
Yeah,
splat.
Yeah. Bounce.
So what do Chelsea need to do? Like, is it obviously this season is a write off? But like, I'm not being funny. Results go wrong, they're in the relegation zone.
I mean, realistically, they're not. 39 points. They've got no chance of going down. But
well, they need 1 point for safety. 40.
Well, no. Someone will go down. Someone will stay up this season with like 35 or something.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not really. 40 is just a benchmark of you'll definitely not go down.
Yeah.
Brighton battered them.
That's the concerning thing, right? Previously under Potter, you at least felt like it was... The problem was they just couldn't score a goal. They were creating those chances, but couldn't score a goal. They got bullied.
Evan Ferguson, was he still only 18, hitting the bar against them?
Yeah.
Danny Welbeck, a tough opportunity with the rebound open goal. That was really hard, actually.
When it come flying back to him. But he scored a good goal.
Mitoma
just ran him right.
And then talk about the winning strike Oh my good.
Yeah, but we need but Kepa, man.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can say.
Okay,
it.
Yeah,
it is such a good, goal. Strike. It's outrageous.
I agree, but it's every game Chelsea concedes from 25 yards, like nearly every game. There's a long outside the box, and everyone goes, "It's a great strike." It can't just be a coincidence that Kepa constantly lets in shots.
But then, could you not argue the fact that maybe actually the midfield isn't closing down the attack and play?
If people take more risks of long shots against Chelsea because he's shit.
Do you reckon the managers are telling their players to have strikes?
Of course. 100%.
I mean, first of all, Brighton scouting, again, unbelievable. Like Julio Enciso, they bought him last summer at 18 years old from Paraguay.
10 months ago, yeah. He was playing for Libertad de Asunción.
Yeah.
Who have they found him?
Scouts.
Scouts.
The thing is, everyone has scouts. People say, oh, Brighton have got scouts. Every team's got scouts. Like, yeah. Man United pay an unbelievable amount to scouts. But it's just, I don't know, it's just about getting the right ones. And.
But I think as well, though, at Man United, they can afford to go and have, you know, at the time, the better players are at the bigger teams, right? So they can probably afford to go and pay for these younger players in different teams, whereas smaller clubs are forced to look elsewhere, and they've ventured into Paraguay and found a beast.
Yeah. Well, they've been really doing well in South America, haven't they? Brighton, all the Ecuadorian players and stuff.
But it's Potter's team that's found him. And
it's smart. Albion used to do when we had...
they are the Albion.
What's his name? Christ, he was my fucking academy manager at Albion. He's called... who's your director of football?
Ashworth.
Dan Ashworth, that's it. So when we had him, we signed players for like 100 grand. Unbelievable. Like, but you don't have to go to big countries or big... You'll find hidden gems in Europe, in South America, in Australia. Australia's a country that's coming up at the minute with young players.
Frank Wild. Mm-hmm.
I think... And teams like Brighton are more willing to... They're not going to compete going and buying, I don't know, Frankfurt's up-and-coming star.
Enzo Fernandez.
Yeah, or Benfica. Yeah, so they're forced to go and find hidden gems, but...
It's how consistently they do it, though.
Well,
some of the big clubs, you know, we got Martinelli, but that's one of the only ones I can think of. Whereas it's like three or four a season.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I'm being naive. Is it just the big clubs are just lazy and they go... Can't be arsed. I'll just go and spend 50
They definitely million. Are. Because they poach from these like clubs who have done the real work and like pay like a big fee because for them that's...
Like, don't get me wrong. As much as I do think Mudrick, and we've spoke about Mudrick and like jokes or whatever, he's obviously got ability and there's... Obviously, we've seen clips of him at Shakhtar. In what world would you go and watch him at Shakhtar or watch him or then watch Matoma and think...
But do you know what the Mudrick thing is? I think Arsenal...
How wasn't Matoma picked up by a big club?
I think Arsenal, genuinely for the Mudrick thing, I think Arsenal did the scouting on him, picked out a price point of which they're willing to pay for his ability. Chelsea come in and see what Arsenal have scouted him for and they go, oh yeah, we'll take him. And Arsenal said, look, we know your ability. I just don't think you're actually worth more than that.
I know, I get that. And I completely understand the situation. My point is, how much was Matoma bought for?
Yeah, but you could say that like so many hidden gems come through. That
but or like this kid or Caicedo. How are they? If big clubs like United or whatever, like Rory was saying, pay all this money for scouts, how are they not being
seen? Do you not think
that
also it is due to the coaching like at these clubs? Like someone like Matoma might not have done well under a Frank Lampard.
Like 2.7 mil,
He's one of the best wingers in the league.
The fact he's he's a bit older as well.
Yeah.
Is the interesting one with Matoma. It's not like he's, you know, people don't want to take a risk on an 18-year-old.
I think for big clubs, there's like fan pressure that the owners are very conscious of. Like if Man United sign Matoma for 2.7 million, the fans are going to be like, well, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
Garnacho.
Well, he was through their academy,
didn't he? Yeah. They bought him from Athletic.
They bought him into the academy. But even if you look back at when we signed Martinelli and the like fan reactions to signing Martinelli, there are reactions where it's like, oh, who's that? Like, I don't know who that is.
True.
And I do think they look at that and
but
go,
I think certain bigger clubs have a much better relationship with the fans in terms of bringing players through. If you look at Arsenal, they bring through players a lot and they do it very, very well. But if you look at someone like...
Do you?
Yeah. All the time we're bringing
it's
players.
Also,
we're known for it.
Oh, yeah, you do.
From the academy. But it's also a lot harder to break into the first team if you are one of those players.
Smith Rowe,
very
like
true.
At Brighton, you're way more likely to get the opportunity. than if you're at a
look at Evan Ferguson.
Top, well, yeah, exactly. Ferguson.
But they signed him, didn't they, Evan Ferguson?
I'm not sure.
They signed him a couple of years ago.
Evan Ferguson.
Did they? I don't know. I'm not too sure.
He's Irish, so I'm assuming probably.
Going back to Chelsea then, is for the last three results, is Lampard to blame or was he just put captain of a sinking ship?
No, because I don't think they were sinking. I think the performances were getting better and he's like, any progress they had made all season, he's just absolutely killed.
Yeah, it's one of them. I can see why he's gone and I don't think he was a good fit for Chelsea. But what they were trying to do with the project, I thought he could have really got it right.
They never should have sacked Tuchel. It's all gone downhill since Boehly got in charge.
Why should they never have sacked Tuchel?
I think he was doing a good job.
It wasn't going great, but he was
going to a Champions League final.
Yeah, but that was the year before, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
a lot.
They were more
the
steady
year.
Under Tuchel.
He wasn't sacked for footballing reasons, though.
But I also think Tuchel could stand up to the board more, whereas I feel like Lamps is probably not standing up to Todd.
That's the thing, and you say he wasn't sacked for footballing reasons, stuff like that. For me, that's so ridiculous because we're playing football. Yeah. Like that's what it is, and like they had a bad spree, but he's the manager who's been with the team and knows the players.
Yeah.
So like, if anyone's going to fix it, surely
but
it should be him.
But as a employer, as the owner, if you don't have a good working relationship, or
yeah, but surely as
or if we don't know what went on.
No, we don't. But also as Todd Boehly, the forefront of your mind must be my football club must succeed on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tuchel's the right man, whether I get on with him or not, you have to have him.
But then, but the reverse of that would be I don't need this guy. There's plenty of other good managers out there.
But that's delusional.
And look how that's served him, though.
Well, okay, it's gone badly with Potter, but in the summer, if they get Enrique, they're laughing, aren't they?
And Lampard's just a filler.
Of course he is.
Yeah, yeah. He's not a stand up.
If he gets a few results, the fans start getting on board.
The worst thing is if Chelsea start doing well.
Oh, yeah. It'd be like Ollie at Man United again.
That would be hilarious. If Chelsea fans are that stupid that you have a few good results and then you want Lampard as your manager, good luck to you. You deserve everything you get.
I think the single biggest problem for Boehly is it just seems like he's trying to appease the fans. Like, once the pressure on Potter out got too much, he pulled the trigger, despite the fact that he had been insistent the whole way through that Potter was the right man and it was a process and that he knew it was a process and he knew it was going to take a long time.
That's a good point.
All of that was just, like, completely neutralised when he got rid of Potter. And then bringing in Lampard seemed like another one where it was like, well, the fans love Lampard, so this will get them on my side again. And it's just backfired again.
What am I hearing about this Enzo Fernandez extension already on his contract? Is that true? 2032?
Yeah, so essentially the original contract they had an optional extension that they could trigger, but I think Chelsea might be in a bit of financial fair play issues, so they're triggering it now, which must in some way change the books for them in a way. But they'll be paid more wages or something surely to Enzo because of it.
A 10-year deal.
Yeah, so he's going to get a 9-year sentence.
But how can you...
Apparently, he's been encouraging them to go get the River Plate manager as well to replace Lampard at the end of the season. So he's might be pulling a little
what
bit of an Mbappe.
What sources are you getting this from?
I've just got sources around the footballing world, mate. It's
you know what? Lewis is like our low-key. He's Fabrizio. He's got messaged him and whatnot. An interesting stat. Obviously, Palace, who are 1 point off a relegation battle recently, are now only 3 points off Chelsea and are looking...
Unreal. Good.
No, they weren't 1 point off of it. They were at 1 point in a relegation battle.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty close to relegation.
They were getting dragged into. I mean, I've got to apologise to Roy Hodgson. I absolutely got that wildly wrong. I thought it was a terrible decision.
What?
I thought bringing at the time when they got rid of Vieira and brought back Roy Hodgson, I just didn't think it was. Made a video.
In your defence, Roy hasn't necessarily been known as a fully attacking, free flowing manager.
But
no, he hasn't,
mate.
No, he hasn't.
But mate, he managed my club. We used to play really good football, scored loads of goals.
Not in terms of 20 shots a game.
No, he was just brilliantly defensive in terms of very structured, very hard scoring.
I know, a manager, Roy Hodgson.
But his team still score goals in attack.
But not to the excess of Palace.
He kept Fulham up off the brink of nowhere.
I'm not saying he's a bad manager. I'm just saying he's not known for this being this
and
attacking.
To be fairness, off the back of like the whole Watford thing, it didn't go well. And I didn't think he exited the game in a nice way.
I think Hodgson's a great manager. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
And it's just the game's
moved
on.
He's got so much experience, but he's never been known as a guy that gets Palace taking 25 shots.
Palace
in the game.
Have always had the players though. They just he's just letting them play now while being rigid and structured defensively, which is how Hodgson's always been. He's perfect for clubs like Palace. That's his level.
He's also got players like Elise playing very, very well.
He's
unlocked Eze, who's just gone on a tear.
The fact, I mean, like Vieira not starting in week out, just some.
Oh, mate, I love Eze. I remember he got injured for like a long, long time, a couple of years ago. It was gutting for him.
He needs to be do you think, England squad.
Do you think no Zaha is the thing that is bringing the best out of Elise and Eze?
No, because Eze plays centre mid.
Yeah, but you know how with Zaha in the team, they'll focus everything through Zaha.
No, I don't think that's true. No, that's not true.
I see your point that now that Zaha isn't the focal point of everything that they try and do,
yeah,
that it's freeing up some of the others more. But I mean, who knows? With Zaha, they could be doing even better. But
I honestly think if you look at Palace's fixtures, that I think they finish above Chelsea.
I had them above them in my league.
So where does that leave Chelsea?
Like 11th.
Palace top 10.
I think I had, when we did the league tower the other day, I'm sure I had Palace.
I think you might have, yeah.
No, because then there's Fulham are 10th at the moment, right? And they're 3 points ahead of United with the game.
Yeah, Fulham are dropping off, I think, a little bit. No Mitrovic.
Good win yesterday.
Well, my bad, Chelsea. Actually, I've got the photo.
Fulham had a good win yesterday. But in general,
I think that middle section of the Premier League is a very, very exciting one for the end of the season.
How exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. Chelsea are the only team that I just can't see getting a win.
Against anyone.
No. Have you seen their games till the end of the season?
No.
Literally, there's not one where you'd be like, Chelsea are going to win that game.
Oh, I've got Fulham in 12th, Chelsea in 11th, and Palace in 10th.
Well, Chelsea...
But I had Fulham losing the weekend to Everton.
Chelsea's next few fixtures are Brentford, away at Arsenal, away at Bournemouth.
They'll beat Brentford.
Chelsea at home. I mean, Forest at home. City away, Newcastle at home on the final day of the season.
Forest at home is the only game out of them.
Nah, they'll beat Brentford and Forest at home, and they should beat Bournemouth.
I don't know if they will beat Brentford, mate. They lost to Wolves.
Exactly.
You know, as in, Chelsea also lost to Wolves.
1-0, not 2-0. So Chelsea are going to win 1-0.
No,
that's how it works.
I look at Chelsea, I think, my God. Like, people are counting Mudrick's assist. It wasn't a Mudrick assist, it was kind of Gallagher assist.
It's a Mudrick assist.
No one can play football at Chelsea.
Why does Itzai assist then?
But you know what I'm saying, like...
It's two just, more assists than Anthony Gordon's managed.
There's something that's not clicking. They've got too many players. They don't know who their best starting 11 is.
Have you seen the Mudrick stat, though?
Oh, hit me with it.
Here we go.
So no Chelsea player has provided more Premier League assists this season than Mudrick with two.
Two assists.
How bad that is.
Yeah.
No, how good he is. When he's signing Jan.
Mate.
He's so bad.
It is bad.
He's the top.
He's one of the worst Premier League signings.
What are you on about?
Mate, the amount that they've paid for him for like a championship level player, the way he's playing. He's literally a B-Tech Jacob Murphy, mate. If you change his name, give him an English name, whatever, and say he signed from Barnsley, I wouldn't be surprised by watching him play.
Yeah, if he was Michael Moore.
Like, he's just so, he's so bang average, mate. And he's like,
explain why.
He just does fuck all, mate.
Let's
talk about his highlight, okay? His big highlight assist from this last game. It is actually embarrassing that Chelsea fans are sharing this as if it's like some amazing dribble he's done. I look at what Grealish did for Man City and actually dribbling through the team, and that's a proper, like, well-played, a good winger. Mudrick's just strolled into space, and luckily a deflected goal went in. It's like this. People are reaching so much.
Explain why that makes him average.
What do you mean? So what's it? I'm saying he's average.
You haven't explained why he's average.
Because he's doing average things. I'm saying that's a bang average player that people are trying to hide.
What else is he meant to do in that situation, though? Shoot from 30 yards in the top corner.
I'm saying when you look at...
He should have done more recently.
No, okay, when you look at... I'm saying, look at Grealish. He's making things happen. That's a higher than average player. He's making that team click. Mudrick isn't impacting the Chelsea team in the same way. So he's playing like an average midfielder. He's not impacting the team like a good midfielder.
Are you saying you give the ball to Grealish and he'll win you the game, but you couldn't give the ball to Mudrick?
Hang on.
This time last year, everyone was slating Grealish, saying he's not making anything happen.
Not me.
He's not beating players.
Not me.
He keeps turning around and passing backwards 5 yards.
Now, he's already done. He already did it though. He's already shown what he can do
so
in the Premier League.
Mudrick
in what league?
In the Champions League?
No, right. No, in long term, over in a top quality league where you're playing week in, week out, not these one-off Champions League things where, you know, Salah can bag 7 goals against Braga, whoever. Like, when you're in the Premier League, Grealish was already proven and we knew what he was capable of doing. Mudrick has came over with a price tag and, so, you're giving him the same sort of respect.
No, I haven't at all.
Well, you picked him up the same amount.
No, I haven't.
You were bigging him up so much.
I said, I think he will be the bollocks. I think he will be.
I think the worrying thing
based on his raw ability he's got.
I don't know if he does. The worrying thing for me, if I was a Chelsea fan, is that some of the basics he just doesn't seem to get well. Like, he doesn't do well. His first touch isn't great. His finishing, he's had decent chances. That one last week, but he just passed it back to the keeper.
Before they signed, everyone knew he was a raw player. Very raw, very rash, very erratic.
He's only played like 100 professional games.
No, 36.
Yeah.
What? He's like 36.
No, it's not.
To be fair, I don't mind a raw player though.
100 professional appearances, so like national team as well.
But if a player's that raw at like 17 or 18, I don't mind it so much. At 22,
he's a year older than Saka.
Yeah.
Yeah, 29 games at Shakhtar and 20 games at a couple loan moves as well.
Yeah, he's look, it's. Oh, United are
1-0 Anthony.
Anthony, still shit. Yeah, he might not come good. He might. I just think he's got the raw ability that you need to succeed in the Prem as a winger.
Don't write him off until next season.
Don't get me wrong. I think Matoma's better than him. I think there's a lot of wingers better than him in the Prem. His price tag isn't his fault, but he probably would have been better suited going to a Brighton or someone like that instead of a massive club with all the pressure.
Less pressure, yeah.
He looks devoid of confidence.
But so do half the Chelsea squad.
Well, exactly. He's playing in a depleted club at the minute. So I think a lot of them Chelsea players you can't judge yet. Like Madueke, whoever you say his name.
Chelsea in the summer have to get rid of...
Even Enzo Fernandez isn't shining at the minute, but he's a quality centre mid.
They just need to get rid of the players.
No, but as soon as they get a system in place, like if they get Enrique in or Nagelsmann, I think then you'll see a massive... At the minute, they're just... There's no fucking... There is absolutely no sense of like direction at the minute with...
There's no Lampard, leader at Chelsea. No.
They're turning up, training. He picks his 11, they go out and play. You can't tell me they've got like some sort of style or system.
There's a reason Jorginho left. Let's put it that way.
Anyway.
I was saying when you watch Chelsea play compared to other teams, like say teams will pick the ball up in midfield and they'll have a sequence of players' movements and the way the players work, and then if it doesn't work out, they reset, come back and try again. Chelsea just like are so stagnant. It's like there's no one has an idea what they're supposed to do.
Every passage of play is off the top of their head.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's open, I'll pass to him. There's no patterns of play they are just really shit.
Yeah. Now, Tom. Something huge is happening this week because it's a double game week in Super 6, which means you have 2 chances at winning the £250,000. And also that means...
You could win £500,000 then.
Oh, if you get both? I was going to say you also have 2 chances of winning the £100 Classic Football shirt if you join the Pitchside Mini League.
So you could win £200 worth of Classic Football shirts?
Mate, it's a no-brainer. Join now using the link in the description down below and join our Mini League using the code...
PTCHS6.
Now I'm going to hold my hands up and say something. Okay. I've had a rotter.
Which you're usually quite good at predictions.
I'm usually quite good at predictions. I'm on 4 points.
I'm on 9.
You're 9? Mm. You get golden goal?
You don't get a point for that?
Oh, is that just a bonus?
That's to decide if you're tied with someone.
I've got 0 points in Chelsea, Spurs, Everton. I've got 2 points for Man City. Didn't get the West Ham Arsenal. And so far, I'm on 4 points because at the current time of recording this, United are winning.
Yes, same.
That's why. So I actually might not end up on 4 points.
That's a stinker.
Yeah, it's not very good at all, mate. But in my defence, Tom, who would have predicted Bournemouth to beat Spurs at Spurs?
I think even if people have predicted Bournemouth to win, not many would have gone for 3-2. I mean... Who would have predicted 2-1 Brighton?
Do you reckon a lot of people did? I'm sure the stats would be out. Did you actually? The 2-1 Brighton?
Yes.
See, this is why you're on 9 points. Do you know what I predicted for the Everton-Fulham game? Guess.
1-0 Everton?
Yeah.
Same as
three,
me.
To concede 3 at home under Sean Dyche, that's not great from Everton.
I know, but
if
you really squint, the 3 kind of looks like a 0.
Yeah, it does actually look like a 1-0 Everton.
Yeah.
I was gutted when City conceded. Obviously, not like in terms of Arsenal winning the league, I want them to concede more. But for Super 6, No, I don't.
We both had 3-0 on that. And we both had 2-1 all. You basically copied.
Well, I did mine before you.
No, you didn't.
I think you did copy me. But you know what? I have a feeling I'm going to turn it around in the next game week.
Mm.
We'll touch on that in a little bit. But I have a feeling I'm going to turn it around in the next game week.
I don't. I think it's really hard, the next one.
Well, the next one includes Championship games, Champions League games. Mm. It's all kicking off over there. It's speaking of kicking off.
Very difficult.
City kick off all the time, mate. Because they keep scoring goals.
No.
And technically, their opponents kick off all the time. Opponents technically. But yeah. Haaland, once again, proving the robot. Don't stop!
He's a joke.
KDB's pass into him. But can we talk about the touch and the finish from Haaland? That's outrageous.
Yeah, but the way a pass had to be perfect, and it was. It was just, yeah, that was a lovely goal. It was really easy on the eye, wasn't it, that goal?
Well, mate, because of that goal, I want to touch on this, actually. Because of that goal, KDB setting him up, it moved KDB to Haaland in terms of second in the history of goals combined. I've really butchered that. So KDB to Haaland ranks second in Premier League history for most goals with that combination at 8.
In one season? It's
all in one season, yeah.
No, yeah, so it's not all time.
Yeah, for one season.
For one season, yeah.
But you butchered it, but you got there in the end. And that got me thinking. What is the best Premier League partnership? Now, not necessarily going forward, but also in defence. So we've decided to make our top 5 Premier League partnerships. And this way I get controversial, because are you going to rank a defensive partnership better? A midfield partnership better? A midfield to attack better? 2 strikers combining?
I think this is a weird one, because you could just go very boring and just pick, like, Google the top 5 partnerships in terms of pure
actual
numbers,
stats,
goals. Yeah, but I haven't gone with that. I've gone for, like,
bit of eye test in there.
Yeah, a bit of... And it also doesn't have to correlate in terms of, I don't know how to... We saw, like, Cole and Beardsley's got, like, the most. But first of all, that's before our time. But then I think they had one amazing season, not a few together.
But also, you've got to look at it like... So I want to start with my number 5, okay? So I wanted to put Henry and Bergkamp as a partnership. But actually, the best combination was Henry and Perez.
Yeah, they were, even on the eye.
No, but Henry and Bergkamp, the way they were just...
No, because Henry used to drift to the left and they'd overlap.
Well, I've got Henry and Perez as number 5 for me.
They're in my 5.
Henry and Perez, because barring the penalty...
That was a very... strange.
Barring the penalty when Perez decided not to kick it to Henry, it could have worked out well, but you know, we don't talk about it. Barring that, they were mad.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Perez curling it every time. It was sad that in the Champions League final, Perez got taken off, because that was his last real season for Arsenal before he went to Villarreal. So number 5 for me, Henry and Perez. Do you want to do your number 5?
They're my 5 as well.
They're your 5 as well?
Yep.
Is that us agreeing?
Mm-hmm.
Bloody hell.
And we didn't discuss this either.
Number 4 for me. This might be a bit crazy.
Go on.
Terry and Carvalho.
Oh, it's a great shout, you know. I haven't even thought of them. It's a great shout.
The best, one of the best defences ever in the Premier League.
That's actually a really, really good shout. Well done.
Thank you. Who's your number 4? Or should I finish off with the rest of mine?
No, we can go back to back. It's all right. I'll go... I haven't numbered mine, so I'll go David Silva and Sergio Aguero.
See, I've not included them.
And I know directly they weren't technically a partnership, but I just feel like those two...
Directly they were. They had like a lot of goals between them both.
No, but I mean like, I don't know how to...
It wasn't York and Cole.
Yeah, they're not like a direct partnership, are they?
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
But I just feel like those two were the staple to those.
But then I didn't put them in because I also thought, oh, they also had Toure.
No, I know,
yeah. Balotelli in there.
But like, you could say that about Henry and
Pires. Yeah, I agree. I just, when you think of partnerships, I like people that are known as a partnership. You don't think David Silva and Aguero. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Terry and Carvalho, you think Henry Pires. So I that's fair enough, though. I mean, they actually are one of the best in terms of stats as well.
Mm.
Number 3 for me, Drogba and Lampard. Mate, 4th for me is Terry Carvalho. 3rd is Drogba Lampard. It's the Chelsea partnerships.
Well, in 3rd, I have got... I'm going to go the same.
Drogba Lampard.
I nearly put them 2nd, but I'm going to put them 3rd.
What? Okay, 2nd for me is Kane and Son.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, they're not in my 5.
What?
No.
They're either level or ahead of Drogba and Lampard as a combination now. Wait, they're the only 2 players that carry Spurs for the last 5 years.
I know, but...
Kane and Son.
Lampard and Drogba did it to win titles and medals.
Oh, yeah, it's a fair point. But I don't know, they are pretty prolific in terms of partnership.
They are, but they're not in my five.
Who's your second?
Rooney and Ronaldo.
Didn't even think about them. Do you remember that counter-attacking goal against Fulham? Was it Fulham?
Bolton.
There you go. Team in white. Oh, Rooney and Ronaldo.
I think.
Oh, have they not in my
eye? And I know, like, you could, I know that it was more of a trio, wasn't it, with Tevez or Berbatov, but those two also are just my child, are just electric.
Yeah, no, in the total 90s for Rooney, vapors for Ronaldo. Oh. They
three-peated the Premier League like that. To be honest, yeah, they could have gone first, they but I'm happy higher. With my top choice.
I think we might have the same top one.
Go on.
3, 2, 1, Ferdinand and Vidic.
Yeah, that's my one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to argue against it, isn't it? They were just impossible to play. They're impossible to play against.
Colossal. They scored, like, Vidic scored a lot of important goals as well.
Imagine, you're a striker. Oh, who are we playing today? Man, like, coming up again. How do you play against Ferdinand and Vidic?
You don't, well, Barcelona showed you how to do it. You just don't engage with them, but... Yeah, because you've...
Stay away from them as much as possible.
Yeah, because you've obviously got the aggression, the strength, the heading.
Also the athleticism of Ferdinand.
Of Vidic. But yeah, so then if you think you're a small nippy wing forward, well, good luck, because you've got Ferdinand who's sweeping behind the pace.
And also Vidic is just going to beat you up.
Yeah, that would not be a fun day at the office.
I mean, you'd actually get bullied by them.
And to go to win three Premier Leagues in a row, both of them just... Vidic won two Premier League Player of the Years.
But imagine going to Old Trafford against Vidic and Ferdinand.
Yeah, you wouldn't get a
It's not ideal. I'm shocked.
Unless you're Torres.
Yeah, or Henry probably. Torres Latte is. Did he ever play against them?
I don't think he would.
For Barcelona?
Oh, maybe.
Suarez and Sturridge would have turned him inside out.
Maybe.
I'm very surprised though, Tom, that Kane and Son aren't in your top five.
I mean, yeah, I'll be honest. I was thinking more past. I didn't.
You got nostalgia tax in there. A bit of nostalgia tax.
If I'm being honest, I'd probably put Omri and Pires at fifth and then Kane and Son at fourth, and then leave Silva and Aguero out, but
You like the Silva Aguero combo.
But it's more, yeah, like what they achieve, man. Like, and I get it, it's not Kane and Son's fault that the rest of the team haven't lived up to expectations or whatever, or haven't won, but it's got to count for some that those other partnerships actually led to something. It's all right sticking in 30 goals a season against Stoke and Fulham, but...
We have to, like, none of us have included York and Cole.
Yeah, but again, York
and Cole... Suarez and Sturridge. Yeah. How can we when we, you know...
Suarez and Sturridge was for like one season. York and Cole...
Gerrard and Torres.
That wouldn't have been a bad one, but again, it led to nothing.
Well...
It's very hard to put partnerships in when...
What about Demba Ba and Papa Cisse?
Let's move on.
Okay, well, if you want to let us know your top five Premier League partnerships with our attacking midfielder, as we said, let us know in the comments down below. But I got some incredible news, Tom. So far, in our pitch side mini league, there's over 4,500 of you who have joined. So thank you all for joining. We love your support. Keep it coming. We want to hit 5,000 members. How do they join, though, Tom?
It's very, very simple. All you need to do is download the Super 6 app. Create
free to play.
It's obviously free to play. You create an account. You come and click the link to join our mini league. But you need the code, which is Theodore.
PTCHS6.
And you're in. And it's as simple as that. And this week, we've got a double header. We've got midweek, and then obviously you've got the weekend. So some weeks, you've got two chances at not only the jackpot.
Quarter of a million.
The classic football £100 voucher that you can win for top in our league. Each round.
Yeah. Mate, I love classic football shirts. So £100
there is absolutely bad. I mean,
we've got a backdrop. Look at this.
Imagine grabbing one of these shirts for free. Just for predicting scores for free.
Exactly. Sign up right now using the link in the description down below. Join our mini league using the PTCHS6. It's free to play. You've got two shots this week. What more do you want, Tom?
Nothing.
Nothing. This week's fixtures. Bit of a crazy one.
This is tough.
It's crazy. Because you got Chelsea, Real Madrid in the Champions League. Napoli AC Milan in the Champions League, Millwall Birmingham in the Championship, Bayern Munich City, obviously City currently 3-0 up, Inter Milan Benfica, and finally Middlesbrough Hull.
That's tough.
How do you predict them? What's the toughest out of them?
I think Millwall Birmingham.
Do you think?
Yeah, because
Championships are a lot harder to predict than Champions League, you'd say, wouldn't
you? And or saying that, maybe like City because the game's dead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you think it is.
You think it is. It could end up being 5-0 Bayern Munich.
No, I don't think so.
Honestly, we've had some crazy results predicted and come through so far on Super 6. It's actually pretty mental. Well, I think like 600, sorry, about 660 people predicted the...
Bournemouth
game, was it? It was 3-2, wasn't it? 660. It's outrageous.
They need locking up.
They're geniuses, actually.
They actually are.
And look, 3 Super 6 jackpot winners so far this year. You could be the fourth. Use the link in the description down below. Sign up and play for free. Incredibly, there is now 4,500 of you in the Pitchside Mini League. And obviously, we want to make sure we hit 5,000 as soon as possible. So make sure you sign up right now. And congratulations to Charlie Taylor, who, with a whopping 20 points, has won this round's 100 Classic Football shirt for obviously winning this round in the Pitchside Mini League. As I said, join up now. Plenty more prizes up for grabs, and of course, the 250 grand jackpot if you correctly guess the 6 results each round. I'll tell you someone who isn't shit. Gareth Bale. Oh, sorry. I got his name wrong. Marcus Tavernier. He's bollocks.
I mean, I don't know.
Nah, he's a bollocks. He had another shot inside Gareth Bale-esque.
What, the one that rattled the bar?
The one that didn't go in?
No, save.
It was saved.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, he's a bollocks. He's really good.
He does look good.
Why are you why are you going mad about a shot that didn't go in?
Nah, but he keeps doing it. He is. the way he runs with the ball, and he's a nightmare for defenders as well.
He's a good player.
He's a really good player.
And the lad who scored the winner, he's a good player.
Otaro,
he's really good.
That was a composed finish.
Solanke's finish as well.
90 odd minute.
Mate, Solanke's just been getting better and better each game.
It's about time.
Are you ready to apologise to Bournemouth?
For what?
Delete your channel.
You said if they stay up, you'll delete your channel.
I didn't say that.
You did say that. It was AI.
No, I didn't.
It was an AI bot.
I didn't say that.
Was it generated?
Well, even the AI didn't say that.
I think it did.
I don't think it did.
No.
If you want to rewatch the video. It's not me. I don't know who that is anyway.
Gary O'Neill.
That great job. What a job.
What a job.
First proper job for him.
Yeah, he sounds exactly like Frank Lampard as well.
Yeah.
Have you heard him speak?
Yeah. They're probably from a similar area. That's how
it happens. Were Bournemouth great? Or were Spurs, just classic bottle jobs? I know it's coming from an Arsenal fan.
As Bournemouth, if you go away from home to Spurs and win 3-2, all you can do is praise Bournemouth, especially being 2-1 down.
Was
it 2-1?
No, Bournemouth went 2-1 up.
They were 1-0 down.
If you're Spurs, though, at home to Bournemouth and you've lost,
that's shocking.
That is really bad.
Yeah,
that's no disrespect to Bournemouth, but Spurs are pushing for Champions League. If they are going to push for it and try and get it,
especially when you've just seen Newcastle get battered 3-0, and you've got, that's opened up a great chance for you.
Last 10 games, you'll eye up fixtures that you have to get 3 points, right?
Yeah,
and they'll look at Bournemouth at home. They say, "We're going to win this."
Yeah,
and they've lost it.
The club's just really toxic at the moment. They would boot Davinson Sanchez, had the worst substitute cameo I've ever seen.
Yeah, that is awful for him.
Came on,
they shouldn't be your own players.
Got booed off.
Yeah, it's not ideal. You can't be doing that.
I just don't know what they're doing. Like,
why not?
His peak on Davinson Sanchez, man. He actually tries. I know.
So
he had a howler. But he can't be booed.
He's one of their longest serving players now as well.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo.
But the biggest problem they've
got... He's on about 80 grand a week.
The biggest problem they've got is that they've brought in Conte V2. Like, nothing has changed since Conte left other than...
If anything, it's got worse.
Slightly less entertaining press conferences.
Do you honestly think that's bad, booing him?
You won't.
People work all week, spend their
this is bullshit, man.
Spend shitloads of money to go. If they want to boo, let them boo.
It's not about the player, it's about the club. It's like, do you want your team to do better? Is booing going to improve that? No.
It makes them feel better, though. Sometimes it makes you feel better.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough, to be fair. But, like.
You can't. No.
No, fuck them.
They use Davinson Sanchez.
Hang on. But it's all right when players get applauded and praised.
No,
a non stop chance.
I tell you what's wrong with it.
The fans want to call them knobheads. How dare he go home to his 12 bed mansion and cry into his silk pillars?
They're using Davinson Sanchez as a scapegoat for the whole club.
No, they're not. They're just telling him his shit.
No, they were using as. They were frustrated at the whole club and they took it out on one player.
And they're probably frustrated at a lot of things, but at the time he'd had a stinker and they wanted to let him know. Get over it. In a few weeks, if he has a worldie, they'll all cheer him and clap him, so who cares?
He's just classic Spurs fans, though, isn't it?
Every fan base does it.
They're having a rotter and they wanted and to they take
you
out.
You hated Xhaka last year?
No, I didn't. I was the one that never did. I was at the game when it, I was at the game when he got booed off. I said, this ain't right. This ain't right. And I backed him. Now look at him.
I'm more than okay with fans slating players.
Of course you are,
it's
though.
It's fine. It's fine. It just doesn't help. Like, if the What's problem that, gonna, yeah, that Spurs agree. Players have got is confidence issues, getting booed off isn't going to help.
He won't want to play again, mate.
Boo-hoo.
No, you're it's entitled to do it. I just don't think it's useful.
Mate, all Spurs are doing is shooting himself in the foot.
Do you know what? And his performances aren't useful either, so I'll let him know he's shit. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I hope they get relegated.
you tie.
Has Conte been proven right?
Yes.
About what?
Spurs. Not getting Champions League.
The history of the Tottenham.
The history of the Tottenham. Exactly. You can
I don't know. I just think...
He's right in the sense that getting rid of him hasn't changed a single thing.
Or maybe his shit signings haven't helped.
They're on 53 points. Newcastle and United, obviously game in hand. Man United are currently beating Forest at the time of recording this. Villa, only 3 points behind Spurs. Brighton, 4 points with two games in hand. Spurs can drop Liverpool two games in hand. Spurs can drop to eighth easily.
Not even can, they will. Like, they definitely will.
Spurs play against Villa. I think that's right now. You
top
cannot see. You cannot see Spurs getting a result against Villa.
No way.
The way the two of them are playing. So, yeah, I mean, if they bottle Europa, that's like catastrophic for them, even in terms of the finances of the stadium and stuff. So, it'd be entertaining, but.
Obviously, barring Kane, who's actually had one of his better seasons, to be honest, in the Premier League, is it a collection of a multiple of their leading players have let them down? You know, he's starting to come good now, but he's been a bit quiet this season.
Yeah, I think there's loads of things.
They lost Bentancur to injury.
Yeah, I think that's a massive one, losing Bentancur. Like, he was their best player, apart from Kane, for most of the season. So I think losing him's a big one, but I don't know. I just feel like... The signings they made in the summer, none of them have come good.
No.
Which you look at, they spent, 140 million, something like that, in the summer. Richarlison, again, massive chance at 2-2 to score, missed it. They go down the other end and concede. He hasn't scored a Premier League goal yet.
Obviously, Bournemouth with the 95th minute winner. It's absolute scenes for them. Who do you think finishes higher? Bournemouth or Chelsea, 6 points?
What are you going to say, Bournemouth or Spurs?
Chelsea.
Really?
What's the point gap between them?
Yeah.
6 points.
Because Chelsea will beat Bournemouth.
I don't know if they will. Honestly don't...
Is it at Bournemouth?
Nah, to be honest, neither do I. But Chelsea will beat... They'll beat Brentford and Forest at home.
I don't know if they will.
Bournemouth will win like two more games or one game. They're safe now, Bournemouth, so they'll be on the beach.
It is a lovely beach. I did go to university.
No, not that beach. Who in their right mind
goes to Bournemouth Beach?
Would be on 40 grand a week and go to Bournemouth Beach.
And all the Bournemouth players, it's well nice.
Yeah, mate, they're going to go there, aren't they, instead of fucking...
Where? On?
Oh, the falls.
You know, actually, there's an area right next to Bournemouth where, like, Harry Redknapp and that, all the footballers live.
It's a really nice area, one of the most expensive
areas in the whole of the UK.
Yeah, what's it called? It's,
It's a little bay.
Google a rich area in Bournemouth.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And there you go. Nice. Who's going to go to Bournemouth Beach? All of them.
They don't sit on the beach.
Mate, it's such a lovely beach. It's sandy.
It's sandy beach? It's called...
It's got palm trees.
Sandy... It's called Sandy somewhere.
Sandy? Sandbanks.
Sandbanks, that's it.
Come on. I fucking know knowledge, man.
I know. That's because you've got probably a house there, haven't you?
I do. Speaking of clubs that have beaches, Newcastle.
Don't have a beach.
What? Do you not?
Not a beach on Newcastle, no.
You don't have a beach, but you're by the sea?
No, that's Sunderland.
Whitley Bay?
No, that's not Newcastle.
What?
Newcastle doesn't have a beach.
Whitley Bay?
Yeah, but that's Whitley Bay.
What?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you
what
Newcastle.
About, where's he running on goal?
Eh? Yeah. What
on
beach
goal?
Is he running
what
on in goal?
What beach is he running on?
No, yeah, he goes to Whitley Bay. It's a different place.
That's Whitley Bay?
Yeah, it's
the beach.
Yeah. No, it's either that or it might be Blyth. It's probably Blyth. So, like, so Blyth is nearby on the coast.
You're telling me my whole life...
So Newcastle's not on the coast?
No.
What?
No.
It's got a river in it.
No, I'm questioning myself. No, yeah, there's a river that'll feed mate, into the
no,
sea.
Wait, Newcastle.
No, I don't know.
My whole life's been a lot. I thought Santiago Muniz ran on Newcastle Beach.
Ah, he would have been in Blyth.
Is that not...
So Blyth is like right next to Newcastle, essentially, but it's like a town.
It's not a town in Newcastle, though.
No. You can't have a town in a city.
Mate, it's by the beach.
It's not by the... Newcastle's in...
It's by the sea.
No, that's... The Blyth is on the beach, man.
No, that's...
North Shields, South Shields, Tynemouth, Whitley Bay.
So, zoom out.
Yeah, it's there, look.
Yeah, that's... Oh, yeah, yeah, so yeah, you're right.
Tell you, we'll go to a Blyth Spartans...
Sunderland by the sea.
Or a, no, not a nice beach, no.
Sunderland by the sea?
Not nice.
What isn't?
Sunderland's beach.
But it's...
He's just saying that because...
Look, either way, Newcastle got absolutely royally fudge-caked by Aston Villa.
Sorry, say that again.
Fudge-caked.
Say that, what happened?
Newcastle got destroyed... Beaten sideways. Ollie Watkins took him to town. Nick Pope got humbled. He should have saved him.
Who else got humbled?
Trippier, Shaw, Botman, Byrne.
Anyone else?
Oh, Bruno Gomez.
Anyone else?
Wilson, Isaac,
all right, I'll then
Max.
Less.
Anyone else you can think of?
Not really content.
Almiron, Jacob Murphy.
Anyone else?
Even Jonjo Shelvey. You don't play for him anymore, anyone but he else? Got humbled.
Eddie Howe.
Lewis Bowden.
Humble man?
Do you know what the thing is, though? It weren't even like you was on...
Your shit.
No, Villa outperformed you. It was a domination.
It was embarrassing.
It was a fluke.
Oh.
It was a one-off fluke.
And you had the cheek to claim you're a bigger club than Villa.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. We are.
Look, I...
No.
Right, okay. Name me a Villa legend except from a Bong Lahore.
What?
Name me a Villa legend. Name me someone who's renowned.
Gareth Barry.
John Carew.
Amazing. You see what I mean?
Stylian Petrov.
What about the players who won the European Cup?
Name one.
I don't know them.
So there you are. Oh, so fucking worldwide known. You can't even name one. The thing that makes you a big club, for me isn't about trophies and shit. Because if you're Man City, you can buy them all. Which is what they've done.
Like you're about to do.
No, United are a bigger club than City.
Yeah. United
got trophies, got more trophies than City.
Yeah, they have, but they've also got the international presence. Like, Newcastle have a history that's not including with winning trophies.
Yeah,
but
we have Bobby
Robson, we have Alan Shearer. Eh?
Who do you think's got more fans?
I don't know, mate.
It's not close.
I haven't really done a survey.
Not close. It's not even remotely close.
I think Newcastle
I promise you it's not.
Villa are huge in Estonia.
Like, they've won the European Cup.
Yeah, but also Santiago Muniz.
They've won the European Cup.
I understand that. But okay. Right, so cool. If Newcastle win the Champions League next year, are we a bigger club? Because for me, right?
You don't. It's just like City. You don't win a title and then suddenly you become this big club. You win them and then the fans and the size of the club increases because of that.
For me, it's not down to trophies. It's about just the club's presence in the general state of football.
Yeah, but you would say that because it helps your argument.
Okay, well, think Newcastle never won any trophies, still have this amount of presence in the club, this much push behind
fans. Because you're only one team in your city.
Yeah, of course, it's an advantage to be a one team city, but it's a fact that
your only fans are from Newcastle.
Yeah, but we've been there through thick and thin, no matter what.
Because
you've
only got one team to support. Who else are they going to support? Whitley Bay FC?
I'm not...
Blythe
Spartans are good, man.
I don't see any of you showing up Mike Ashley was in charge in the championship.
Oh,
of course we showed up. That's a myth. We sold out all the time in the championship.
You did not.
Yes, we did.
No, we did.
People just used photos of an empty St. James's Park either during when we were... not turning up to the game.
How many people went during the 19th?
No, what was it like when we were protesting?
when we just weren't turning up?
How many people turned up during the 2021 season? No one.
We sell. What do you mean? You're on about COVID. Nice.
Was it 1920 or 2021 as well?
2021.
Well, either way, please
educate yourself.
Yeah, you got humbled, mate.
I just disagree, man.
Villa, what? No, you can't disagree.
I just am.
Okay.
I just disagree.
Villa are a bigger club than Newcastle. It's not close.
No.
Look, lads, we have to move on. Agree to disagree because we need to talk about Ollie Watkins.
If he could finish, he'd be the best striker in the world.
Here's a fact for you. Hit that game against Newcastle. Did you say this earlier?
Yeah.
I'll take it as my own. The game against Newcastle was the first time he scored more than one goal in a game this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had one ruled off as well.
Considering he scored like 15 goals, it shows how consistently he has scored.
Put them away. 11 or 12 since the restart, I think it is. Is it?
Yeah, only Haaland scored more, I think, since...
Oh, because of the brace. I think they're pretty close, though.
Yeah, but Haaland has scored more.
Would you take... Say the Euros is now or next year. Kane,
Tony Watkins.
And Watkins.
Yeah.
No Callum Wilson.
No. Not on form.
Not even form. He's just not better than the other two.
We've done this before, man.
He's not.
Pre-World Cup he was.
Let's stay on Villa. I'm fed up talking about Newcastle. Are Villa in a top four race? Can they get Europe? Top four, top six?
They won't be able to get top four.
Top six, definitely.
Do you think? Genuinely.
Top six, definitely. Yeah.
Do you think they finished sixth?
Yeah, maybe even fifth.
I've got them sixth.
Have you?
Yeah.
Funny that.
Top four is going to be a stretch. The good thing is they play all of the teams around them before the end of the season.
Imagine if someone at the start of the season called Villa to get sixth.
Like, it's just Unai Emery, isn't it?
Imagine.
Europa League is his competition. I don't know what the odds are, right? But I would put a bet on Aston Villa winning Europa League next season.
That would be pretty cool. Would you say at the start of the season, if someone said Aston Villa to finish sixth and they finished sixth, that's a pretty genius move?
I think at the start of the season, you might have looked at the squad and thought that was... You have to have decent ball knowledge to call it that early on.
Interesting, yeah.
Very smart.
Mm. Very smart, actually. Borderline genius level.
I didn't call it, personally.
The reason you were slighted, and rightfully so, was because of...
I looked at the people's squads. I saw that squad. I saw it had potential. It didn't matter who's in charge.
It just meant
you're in charge.
You're right.
The manager ain't going out kicking a ball for them. You look at the players and you think if they got the right geezer in charge, they could do well.
Precisely. So if you were just going on the squad, you'd say Chelsea should be in the top four, but they're not.
No, because all shit.
But they're not.
Mate, have you seen Buendia?
What?
John McGinn.
Mate, oh my God. No. At the start of the season, when you predicted that, it was stupid and you were laughed at because Gerrard was in charge and it was proven right. They were like fourth bottom.
Now look at them. Who's laughing?
You can't take anything away from it. He was right.
I'm not. I'm explaining why you were slated.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You lot were looking so in the box. I looked outside the box. You're so narrow-minded. I saw the potential of Aston Villa.
He saw Unai Emery being appointed.
I could see it was perfect for the role.
Yeah.
I saw Sean Dyche going to Everton 7 months before it happened.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I said it.
Please, let's not do it again. He did.
Unai Emery has to get so much credit, though. Because even players that were... Like, Tyrone Mings was looking awful. John McGinn was looking poor.
Moreno?
Yeah, Moreno's come through unbelievable. I think like the credit that has to go to him for the system, because even now when they're getting injuries to players like Leon Bailey.
Do you think Emery's got a shout out manager of the season?
If he gets him in the top four, top six,
would he get a shout?
Top six would be tough. It still depends on whether or not Arsenal win the league.
It'll be whoever wins the league.
Right, and get top four.
If City win the league and Villa get fourth, he'll win it.
Fifth.
No, I think Pep will get it.
Oh. Thing is about if City go and win the FA Cup and the Champions League as well.
Oh, if City end up winning a treble, I think I'll cry.
Yeah, it'd be vile.
Because it's meant to be Arsenal season.
Is it?
Yeah, because if City win Champions League and it's like, cool, they did it finally. If Arsenal win the Premier League, everyone's like, wow, that's sick.
Mate, the way they're playing and how
are they just punished
how
teams?
Beatable the Champions League is at the minute, I wouldn't put it past them.
Real Madrid are the only team that can stop them.
I can't see Madrid beating City. The reason I could see it happening
is just the experience. It's the fact that City still haven't won a Champions League. They've still got that like nagging. Yeah,
and also Yaya hasn't lifted the curse.
Well, we don't know that.
Like, imagine he comes out before the final.
Wasn't it a 10-year curse?
But imagine before the final, he goes, just so you realise, I lifted it last night.
Wasn't it a 10-year curse anyway? Isn't it up?
Is it 10? Yeah, but maybe he's gone, he had an option to extend it by a year.
True.
That clause.
He might have triggered
it. So if Villa finished fourth, say hypothetically Villa finished fourth, who misses out on top four?
It would be Newcastle. It could be Newcastle and United.
I think if Man United beat
Brighton, that would be amazing.
If Man United beat Forest today, I think that's huge for them.
Are they still 1-0 up?
They're still 1-0 up. But given it's 1-0 at half time, but given how like fragile that lineup that they just set up was, if they can still get a win away at Forest, I think.
I think United can get away with injuries as long as Casemiro plays.
If you don't get a red card again,
he's that important.
Are Liverpool not in with a shout of top four, top six?
No.
Even though they got that result against us last week, I don't think they've got it.
Nah, they're shocking.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if they lost to Leeds.
There's not enough time. Like, I don't think everyone above them are going to drop enough points for them to catch up.
And what I quite like about the end of the season is that all the top half of the table are sort of playing each other and all the bottom half of the table are playing each other.
Yeah, so they are. Every
Every result every team has, every game they play is so important because it's basically 6 pointers all round.
You've seen the probability percentages of top four? It's like Newcastle, Man United on like 80s, and then like Brighton on 10%, and everyone else is like below 8%.
Really?
Yeah, so like they're trying to, pretty much Newcastle and Man United shouldn't
bottle it.
Yeah. But that's football at the end of the day. One of us is good for a ball, man.
And Champions League football will be welcomed back to Arsenal, Newcastle, and Man United.
What?
Yeah, they always end up in the Europa League, don't they?
Man United were literally in the Champions League this season.
What did they play the majority of their games in? Europa League.
No, you know, we're Europa League this season. They're in the Europa League now.
Yeah, because they got
They got knocked out.
They did.
Season they didn't. They came second in their group. That was why they had to play Barcelona, who did get relegated. That double leg against Barcelona was.
Where did they finish in the league?
Don't try and counterfuck my brain.
They finished sixth last year. They were awful.
Don't try and counterfuck my brain.
Yeah, it was sixth.
Why did I have in my head? You're in my head.
City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs.
Myself. Thank you, Rory.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I need to back myself more. I know more ball knowledge than Tom.
The season before, I think they might have dropped.
Then Arsenal were fifth.
I thought they came third last year.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days.
Who came third last year?
Chelsea, then Spurs.
And Arsenal fought for the top four.
Oh my God.
Spurs got over Arsenal.
I had no recollection of that.
I know, man. It's a crazy time in a crazy world. Speaking of crazy things, a lot of beef, shall we say, has been happening on social media at the moment. Speaking of which, I think it was Ferdinand, Carragher. Neville.
Carragher came out.
Mainly Carra.
He started it.
Big Jamie Carragher.
He was right.
Now, they've been arguing about who's the best Premier League centre-back of all time. And we are here to pass judgment and tell you with our top five best Premier League centre-backs of all time. Now, everyone has opinions. Get over it. You know, no one's wrong, no one's right. It's football.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And it also depends how you personally rate or rank players.
Yeah.
Some people think trophies are really important. That's okay. Some people think it's all about ability.
Some people think goals count for nothings. Longevity. Exactly. You said Haaland, but don't. All you guys score goals, so you can't be the best player in the world.
I didn't say that.
You did. Anyways, Rory, have you got your top five Premier League centre-backs right there for us?
I do. Off the dome, but it's for me. John,
start with five.
Yeah. So five, Nemanja Vidic.
Ooh.
Four, Vincent Kompany.
Ooh.
Three, Sol Campbell. Two, Rio Ferdinand. And one, Jonathan Terry.
Oh, Sol Campbell third.
Don't disrespect Sol Campbell. Over 500 appearances.
Absolutely.
500 appearances, invincible, multiple Premier Leagues. Mate, why does Sol Campbell get so disrespected?
I will not tolerate such disrespect for Sol Campbell.
Saw him in a jazz club in Mijev once.
And he's a strange bloke.
He is strange. If it was for off the pitch activity,
going missing for a few games every now and again.
Weirdo, but
look, Sol Campbell was very good, but
unbelievable.
He ain't touching a top five centre back.
He's got over 500 appearances, man.
So
multiple Premier Leagues, undefeated defender. Name another centre back.
Called Sol Campbell.
Who did it?
Okay, you done me there. I am trumped.
Colo Torre. Pascal Sigan. Philip Senderov.
Anyway, that's my five, and I think that's a good five.
Yeah, Tom.
He was the top two again.
Rio two and Terry one.
Terry one?
Yeah, Terry one.
So no Virgil van Dijk in there?
No.
Interesting. That is going to cause a lot of people to get angry.
Yeah, well.
Are you going to go now?
No, I'll go last. Oh. I want Mr. Ball Knowledge himself to talk to me about his. Why have you taken my thing? No, it's well, fine, no. Oh, it's my little fiddly toy.
Well, so, okay. I mean, I don't really know how you...
I'm trying to work out how you... But you've also got Kompany in there.
Mm-hmm. You've got mainly longevity, haven't you?
Mainly longevity, yeah.
But why Kompany?
He's unbelievable. As a leader, he like if you're looking at one player that transformed that City team to being the top level, for me, it's him.
Very true. I'll speak
back. Other big players, David Silva and Yaya Toure, but for me, Vincent Kompany is... Yeah, I had forgotten about Alana.
Talk about Rubinho anymore, actually.
No,
right. No, so mine are a mix of
Don't start making excuses for your top five already.
They're
mate.
Not excuses.
Sounds like you're making excuses.
I'm saying I don't mind if you've played in the league for 15 years. I'd rather a player who was better for three.
Okay.
I've got Ledley King at number five. Ledley King was...
Mate, do you know what you're doing right here? All you're doing here is just farming Tom W comments.
Sol Campbell was not a better centre half than Ledley King.
Yeah,
yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Everyone loves banging on about how good Ledley King was. If you put Scholes over Gerrard, mate, King is not top five Premier League centre backs of all time. Yes, he was really good, but you're overhyping him You're farming TikTok comments to say like, oh, Tom Dub. He's not five top five Premier League.
What
you're
are you
wrong.
On about?
No, I'm speaking such facts. It's outrageous.
You'll drop
remember watching Ledley King play?
Yeah, I remember seeing him on the fucking sideline, benched because he's injured.
Yeah, if it wasn't for injury. And if it wasn't for injury.
I'm not talking, I haven't mentioned injury once.
No, but.
Should do.
He'd get man of the match every week.
Cool.
Listen to all the strikers.
Top
who,
five.
Henry
of
named
all
him the best
time.
Centre half he played against.
Top five of all time.
Yeah. Four is Vidic. Three, Ferdinand. Two, Van Dijk. One, Terry.
So you're putting
Van Dijk's actually a peak the best.
I agree.
Terry's leadership, longevity, and overall edges it.
He also had. Captain the best.
And he was also one of the most underrated on the ball centre half ever.
Also, captain the best defence, pretty much.
Yeah,
ever.
Mm-hmm. And he was, he was 100%. Yeah, I think, again, if all you care about is pure trophies and longevity, then Van Dijk probably doesn't go over Ferdinand or Vidic, but he's just a better player.
I think people, a lot of people love to undersell how good Ferdinand was as well.
I know, Ferdinand was unbelievable.
So good, man.
The thing with the peak thing is that it's like, Van Dijk's peak was 18 months, and don't get me wrong, he would have...
No, it wasn't.
His absolute peak was about 18 months.
Nah. He was already one of the best centre-halves in the world when Liverpool signed him for 80 million. That's why they spent 80 million on him.
Yeah, but at that point, he wasn't comparable.
He was like
Terry
one of the best centre-halves in the league. He was already, he got in the Premier League Team of the Year for Southampton. How ridiculous is that? Mm.
Yeah,
there's this big myth about Van Dijk that, well, he's only had two good years at Liverpool. Well, no, he had them.
I think he probably had four.
He's had a good 4 years at the top. He nearly won a Ballon d'Or over Messi when Messi was like, not like past his best. We're talking 2018. He's only like 7 votes off winning a Ballon d'Or. That is fucking mental against the best player of all time. We're talking about a centre half here. What?
Look, let me give you the actual top five.
Oh, okay. This is going to be so stinky. If Sol Campbell's in here, leave.
I think you're doing very. You're being very.
I
disrespectful.
Think you're being disrespectful.
You're being disrespectful. You just, mate.
If you look at all the lists of best centre backs,
he treated the ball like a bomb.
He's top three in everyone's.
He's top potato and he gets the ball.
So disrespectful. So disrespectful.
Ledley King was like a fucking Rolls Royce.
How many trophies did he win?
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah.
How many?
No. Yeah.
No,
you're
how
right.
many did he win?
One.
And how many leagues did he go undefeated in?
Yeah, sorry, you're right, yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
Carlo Torre is better than all these players because he went undefeated in the league.
Fucking two right as well.
Okay, so you better be number one then.
All right, number five for me is Virgil van Dijk.
Oh, yeah, I'm not mad at that.
And I think, he can just keep going up if he goes back to how he used to be.
Yeah, which is probably
his standards have dropped a little bit, but you have to remember his standards were stupidly high.
Yeah.
Van Dijk, five. Number four, Vidic.
Yeah.
Number three, Sol Campbell. Number two, Rio Ferdinand. Number one, John Terry.
Yeah, similar to mine, to be fair. I think I just had company instead of Van Dijk.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
I'll rate your list. I think that's a good list.
503 appearances, 154 clean sheets for Sol Campbell.
Look, he was a very good defender, but fuck me. How can you watch him and then watch Van Dijk or
three of the top five
think
are
he's
English.
Better than
Pretty
him?
Cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Mate, I don't think you realise how good Sol Campbell was.
Right.
Lewis, have you got one?
I vividly remember.
Lewis, oh, God.
Mine's actually good. And you just have all missed a very clear one.
Oh, there we go.
If you say Sven Botman, I resign. I just want to say I didn't put company in my top five.
Because he was dog shit.
No, not because of that. Because I just...
Company's not better than...
No, he's five.
He's not.
No, he could score good goals, though.
Good point.
He scored one.
So, number five, Company.
Good shout. I agree with that.
Show me Van Dijk scoring a screamer from 35 yards and then he'll can get number five.
He's a defender. He's a centre-back. He's not meant to do that.
Yeah, that's why he's number five, mate. Doing the impossible. Number four, Vidic. Now third. Someone I think that's being overlooked here. Stones.
What? Of all time?
Let me see. Okay. Stones, completely different kind of defender here. This guy is someone who can play out on the right and also the sort of next generation of centre-backs that we're seeing. He literally can now contribute to the attack. He moves into CDM and then rotates back around. I like to see any of these other players do that. It's like more, it's a new take on what the centre-back is.
You're making my brain hurt.
And I think when you look back...
Last season, he weren't even starting for City.
No, when you look back on this Man City squad and see how pivotal Stones is in their system, moving into CDM and holding that position, and being right back moving into CDM, like, I think he's being overlooked.
I don't hate it. I think if you'd squeezed him in at fifth, maybe. I think
you're
third,
putting third on the all-time Premier League centre backs.
I think third is. Yeah.
Nah, it's a bit. I think it's a bit too. I think Stones is one of the best defenders in the world, especially at the minute. But I think it's a bit soon.
It may be too soon, but I think like even a few more. He's only going to continue in this role and
That, though, dear. You're predicting he's going to do that. That's silly.
You can't put Stones third all-time Premier League centre back.
I really like. Maybe it's like maybe it. A tad too high, but definitely in my top five. Second, I went for Terry second and Ferdinand first.
Why?
For me. I've just always been a Ferdinand guy, like even through my childhood. So maybe that's some form of just bias, but I just always looked at that Ferdinand Vidic partnership was just, it irritated me so much.
So you've got like, but like, you've got so good. John Stones third and Van Dijk not in the top five.
And no Sol Campbell.
No, Sol Campbell, believe it or not.
Wait, no, let me just put this straight. Stones third, Van Dijk not in your top five.
Yes.
That's mental.
Do you see why we get hate comments?
No, this is the thing, right?
Stupid specky magpie
goggles.
Twat.
Thank you very much. I think you're going to see rare W here for Stones because I'm telling you, the next four, like evolution of
Lewis,
the centre back.
You know how much I love Johnny Stones, but no one in their right mind would say he's been better or had a better career so far than Van Dijk. He just hasn't. Like
maybe not a better career, but
he's been a better player. Sorry,
maybe.
Come on, come on, bro. Van Dijk was like untouchable.
I'm looking
for, like,
at which centre back do I want?
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, but okay. Sorry, okay. Right now you take Stones over Terry, so put him above Terry.
I feel like the only thing with Van Dijk is that the only measurement that puts him at the top is at his peak. Like if you rated them all at their peak, who was the best? Whereas if you take everything else into it, longevity, trophies won, all of that.
I know, but
it drops him out quite a lot. I'm not including Stones.
That's why I put Van Dijk fifth.
But why does he though? He's won a Champions League. He's won every trophy possible.
I know, but he's having this dip now. Like, say, Company was like the general.
He tore his ACL, mate.
Yeah, it's all right.
Not now. Not ever right to you.
Yeah, obviously, it's not like a helpful, but I can't start taking
it. It's a career-ending injury.
No, of course, it's like a massive one. But I'm just.
He's still
getting
the world. He's still getting the world team of the year last year.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a bad defender. It's like it's an extremely difficult list to make. Realistically, there's so many good centre backs.
Put Stones in there, mate.
I love Stones.
He's got no weaknesses to his game, and he was absolutely untouchable. He is the best we've seen in the league. He just is.
And he assisted Martinelli last week.
Yeah, he did. So he can do it at both ends.
There you are, boys.
I put John Terry above everyone for me.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him putting Ferdinand.
So we all had Ferdinand and Terry top two.
If I was really honest with myself,
no, like, I didn't.
Did you not?
Did you not?
Oh, you had Van Dijk in second.
Ah, yeah.
Wait, so who did you have first?
Terry.
And you dropped Ferdinand out.
No, Ferdinand's third.
Yeah. So Ferdinand wasn't in your top two.
No.
Okay, well, let us know who had the best top five Premier League centre backs of all time, and also let us know in the comments.
And let us know why it was me.
And no, it was me. It was me.
I think it was. Could have been a common Theo W.
Whoa, don't let it simmer like that. Let me cook, boys. Let us know yours in the comments down below as well.
At least we know Lewis's was bottom.
Yes.
I'm getting rare W here. I feel it in my soul.
You're very deluded.
Okay.
Deluded Lewis, we call him.
Thank you.
DL. what are we going to next?
Boot.
Boot.
Why?
Okay, quiz. Quiz. Gone on for a while.
Yeah, we are going.
Let's
just dive into the quiz.
Yeah. Oh!
It's the most wonderful time of the
pod.
Oh.
It's quiz time.
We're not in sync.
We need to get a little jingle. Lewis, I thought you were planning on getting a jingle for us. Where is that happening?
The quiz. Hit a note there.
That's awful.
Before you saw a jingle for that. Fucking sort me a fob out for this building.
No, and you will never leave.
Oh, yeah.
I see,
yeah.
He's hanging around the alley most days.
Yeah, stop asking for keys, man.
Well,
okay, quiz time. So, can I get a buzzer noise from everyone?
Marathon.
Mm.
So, I did it half time today. So, I'm running the London Marathon, guys. Follow me on Strava and in Instagram and bio to donate. Nice. Raise money for a great cause. So,
Football.
Nice.
Bottled.
Okay, then. Question number one. Spurs played Bournemouth, but who scored the winner in the reverse fixture after a fight back from 2-0 down?
Bottled. Danjuma?
No.
Marathon. Son?
No.
Kane?
No.
Okay, give us a clue.
Oh, football. Dyer?
No.
Bottled. Højbjerg?
No, there's a clue coming, like.
Yeah, I'm ready for
here
the
we
clue.
Go. Currently injured.
Marathon. Bentancur.
1.2. Theo.
Patience is a virtue, guys. Patience is a virtue.
Shut up.
James Maddison could have become just the third player to score in three consecutive visits to the Etihad Stadium after who from either... you can only guess one of these because they're pretty hard. From either 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008...
Marathon. Thierry Henry.
No. Realistically, you're only going to guess one of them.
What? So you're saying two players have scored on three consecutive trips?
Mm-hmm.
But how did they do it?
And it's in those seasons?
Lewis, how did they do it at the Etihad when it didn't exist in 04-05?
It did.
You did?
It didn't.
Yes, it did.
It must have, yeah.
No, it didn't. He's read it.
No, the Commonwealth Games were in 04. They got the stadium in 05-ish. About 04, 05.
Oh, I don't know.
2003, the Etihad was built.
Yeah, but when did City take over it?
Well, they would have had it straight away.
No, they didn't. They had it after the games. Yes, it was 04. I think 04, 05 was the first season.
Must have been. Anyways, who did it?
I went to it in 04, 05, so it was definitely there.
Bottled. Wayne Rooney.
No.
Robbie Fowler.
No.
Okay, clue give us time. Give us the era we're looking at.
So, no, the clue is, because the first one you're not going to get, but he is Australian.
Football.
Marathon.
Football.
Viduka.
No.
Bottled.
That was me.
Marathon.
Oh, it's either one of two. Is it Harry Kewell?
No.
Go on.
It has to be the other guy.
Tim Cahill.
Point to you, sir.
Vamos.
Oh, I went for...
Now, the other one...
What year was Tim Cahill?
The other one, this is his career path. 20 to Fulham, to Leicester on loan, to Watford, and then loads of random clubs. He was like playing for Fulham. 95.
So he started off at FC20?
He was at Fulham for 2004 to 2009, scoring 95 goals.
95 goals?
No, 95 appearances, 20 goals for Fulham.
Collins John.
Yeah.
Oh,
good shit, man.
Wow.
Nice ball knowledge.
That was impressive.
Ooh. That was good, that.
And do you know they used to have a player called John Collins?
Yeah. Come out my neck.
So, City, KDB to Erling Haaland combination now ranks second in Premier League history for most goals with 8 then between them. So, combined together, I should say.
Wait. Say that again.
So, KDB to Haaland has now the second most combination goals in Premier League history. Which current two Premier League players?
So obvious.
Kane and Son.
There we are. Technically, it's Song to Kane, but I'll give you it.
But that was...
Well, you said so obvious instead of buzzing, so...
Yeah, but I thought the question was going to be a little bit more...
Well, you should have buzzed then.
Yeah.
You can't say it's so obvious instead of buzzing and then complain.
And also, can I just say, he should have got it the right way round.
Technically, yeah, but...
Oh, grow.
Mate, why is that even a question?
Why didn't you get it right then?
You should have said who's third on the list.
You should have got it right.
You're dumb.
What the fuck? Right. Marco Silva was the third manager to visit Goodison Park after previously taking charge of Everton in the Premier League after who? So which other player?
Football this season.
So Marco Silva was the third manager to visit Goodison Park after previously taking charge there. In Premier League.
Oh, no. Lampard's after, isn't he?
So it's not like it's not who was managing prior him. It's like who's like sort of revisited.
No, so who's managed Everton there and then going to manage someone else? Yeah, Sam Allardyce.
Marathon. No.
Bottle.
That was me.
No.
Bottle. That was me.
Bottle.
Funny enough.
I didn't have my two guesses.
Is it?
Only one of them is really. Is it?
David Moyes.
David Moyes. The other one, I may as well just tell you, to be fair.
Give us a clue.
He has managed Oldham, Everton, Man City.
Joe Royal.
Good shit, man.
Not bad.
There we have it.
Is that the quiz?
Yeah, man. That was the quiz.
Wow.
I won, shock.
Yeah, but there came someone I was fuming about, to be honest.
Mate, I called Collins John.
Yeah, that's pretty
impressive. Yeah, that's the two,
you're my little encyclopedia, you are. I quite like it. Guys, that's the end of the show. If you enjoyed it, make sure you drop a like and subscribe. Rory, thanks as always for coming on. Absolute pleasure.
No,
linked in the description down below. And as we all know and love, if you want to have a shot of winning £250,000, download Super 6 right now and join our mini league using the code PTCHS6 or use the link in the description down below. And we see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.